Well, good evening, everybody. As Alan said earlier, my name is Alex, and I'll be doing a little short message this evening, just unpacking a little bit about what we've been thinking about, singing about this evening. Now, I wonder if you were to take a step back from everything that we've heard, everything that we've sung, I think there's one big key question that sits and lies underneath it all. The question isn't, did Jesus exist? Which is true. The question is not even, was he important? That is also true. But I think the real question is, and the question I want to consider with us this evening is, why would God come down? Christmas, I'd say each year, should and does confront us with that question. Because if the Christian claim is true, that God entered the world, then something must have gone seriously wrong. And it must have gone wrong deeply enough that it couldn't be fixed from a distance. So the question this evening is simple. Why would God come down? We've heard familiar readings. We've sung familiar carols. But familiarity can soften the force of what is being claimed. Christianity does not simply say that Jesus was influential, inspiring or morally impressive, even though all those do be true, it says something far more unsettling. We've just heard these words in the first chapter of the Gospel of John. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And the word that is Jesus Christ. That is that little baby that each year at Christmas time we think upon and we celebrate. So those words, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, is either breathtakingly true or completely absurd. But if it is true, then history has been interrupted by God himself. But if it is not, then Christmas is just a beautiful story we repeat year after year. There's no safe middle position. So let me ask again. Why would God come down? And the first answer I'd like to give to that is that the problem he came to solve must have been serious. God doesn't do unnecessary things. But God here at Christmas time, he entered into human history, into weakness, into limitation and vulnerability. And if he did such a thing, that situation he entered must have been serious enough to require it. You do not call the emergency services for a mild inconvenience, nor do you send a rescue team into danger if someone is simply uncomfortable. But Christmas here, it's not a statement about how good humanity is, but instead it's a statement about how desperate we all are. And that cuts against how many of us, I would say, instinctively think. We like to believe people are fundamentally fine. A little bit flawed, a little bit complicated, but essentially okay. We're getting by just fine. But the Bible's diagnosis, what the Bible says on that, is much sharper, and it contradicts it in a little way. It says that the deepest problem of humanity is not a lack of education, but not a lack of opportunity, nor of self-belief. It says that we are separated from the very God who made us. You may have heard the term sin thrown around from time to time. In a sense, it refers to all the bad things that we do. But I'd say that's not quite right. Because sin is not simply the breaking of rules, but instead it's the breaking of a relationship. It is that sin that keeps us separate from the loving God who created us. And that separation can show itself in some very, very ordinary ways. It looks like a guilt that does not quite fully go away. It looks like a sense that something is still missing even when life is going well. It's a fear about death that we rarely articulate but can't quite escape. It's building our identity on success, relationships, and approval of others, but finding that never quite holds, it never quite satisfies. It's a quiet distance, it's a heart longing for more, a heart that will never be satisfied in what the world itself has to offer. And it's a distance from the source of life, and a distance from the source of life eventually leads to death. And that's why Christmas exists. If we only needed information, God could have sent a teacher. If we only needed moral guidance, God could have sent a lawgiver. If we only needed encouragement, God could have sent a therapist. But because the problem was much deeper, because the problem is sin, God himself came. But that, of course, raises a second argument. Why not stay distant? If God exists, which he does, and he is powerful, which he certainly is, why could he not fix things from a distance? Why not intervene without becoming involved? Why come down? Because the problem of sin is not merely external. Sin is the breaking of relationship. It's a relational problem. We've not simply damaged the world, we've damaged our relationship with God. And relationships are not healed from a distance. You cannot repair, although some of us may have tried, you cannot repair a relationship with a text. You cannot restore truth by sending instructions. In Christianity here, it does not claim that God shouted advice from heaven. It claims that God stepped into that mess himself. He entered time. He entered obscurity. He entered poverty. And he entered suffering. Not because he was forced to, but because we could not come to him. And this is what John means when he says the Word became flesh. God became man. And grace is the undeserved kindness shown by a loving God. Grace is giving another far more than that which they deserve. And at Christmas time, grace remains not an idea. Grace takes on a body. Grace takes on a humanity. Grace enters the world for each of us. God did not stand at a distance shouting advice to humanity. He entered the world himself. And that meant vulnerability. It meant rejection, suffering, and sadly, it too meant death. And that's why the manger cannot be separated from the cross. Jesus was not born simply just to show us how to live. He was born to die. And that's so through his death, all who believe in him might have life, but life to the full. Not fullness that comes through earthly definitions of wealth, prosperity, relationships, but fullness that comes through a perfected relationship with the creator and sustainer of life itself. That is what Christmas is about. But let's think a little bit more about who this person of Jesus is. This God became man, born in a manger, died many years later for us. How did he live his life? Jesus is not distant or detached. He's not aloof from human pain. In his life he knew hunger, he knew grief, he knew betrayal and injustice. He touches those others avoid. He welcomes those who feel unworthy. He confronts hypocrisy and offers mercy to those that are ashamed. He does not turn back when the cost becomes clear. Christmas is the beginning of a journey that ends at the cross. Willingly, I might add. And the question of why? Because the problem that brought God down could not be solved by teaching alone. It required a sacrifice. Because God is just, sin cannot be ignored. But because God is loving, sinners cannot be abandoned. And Christmas is where justice and mercy meet. God comes down not to condemn the world, but to rescue it. And this is where the message, it becomes personal. The fact that God came down does not mean that everyone is automatically saved. Rescue is offered, but a rescue must be received. A life ring can be thrown into the water for a drowning man. But the one drowning must grab hold of it, stop trying to fight the current, and trust the rescue that has been offered. Christmas presses that question into us, because it's very possible for us to stay very close to the story, to be able to recite the nativity, and yet remain untouched by it. The shepherds, they heard and they went. The wise men saw the star and they worshipped. But across human history, very sadly, many, many others have heard. They've heard the story of Jesus Christ. They've seen a story of a man who was God, who offered salvation to us all. And yet they stayed exactly where they were. Proximity is not the same as a response. If God really came down, if Jesus really entered history to rescue people who could not rescue themselves, then Christmas is not simply something to enjoy, but it is something we must respond to. And the most dangerous response, I must say, is polite admiration. To like and enjoy the music, to appreciate the atmosphere, and to agree that Jesus was a good man, but to never entrust yourself to him. I wonder how many here tonight would call themselves a Christian, and I wonder how many here tonight would say they don't know Jesus Christ. You may be curious, you may be unsure. You may feel some pull or even some resistance. But let me say this clearly and hopefully gently. Christianity is not simply becoming a better version of yourself so that God will accept you, but it is by recognizing that God came to you because you could not fix yourself. This is humbling, but it's also hopeful, because it means the starting point is not your goodness, your certainty, or your understanding. The starting point is your need. And that need is something every single one of us shares. Each one of us needs a saviour. And I wonder this evening then, what's your response going to be? Are you going to stop in polite admiration? Enjoy the carols? Enjoy the happy holiday we have year after year? Are you going to ask yourself, was Jesus Christ real? Was Jesus Christ the Son of God? Did he come into this world to save me? The answer to those three questions is true. The answer to all those questions is yes. And the last question you need to ask yourself, am I going to, this Christmas time, let Jesus Christ come into this world and save me? Amen.